Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. Did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to start this new chapter. And we're going to expound verses 1 through 11. And allow me to get the screen up there for us prepared now. So here we go. And there it is. I've entitled this evening's message, We Now Have an Advocate. We now have an advocate. And so, my friends, I just want to just pause real quickly and explain that Jesus is our advocate, meaning Jesus is our attorney. He's the one that now goes before us. We're the ones that now, through Christ, he's our mediator between God and man. And so he stands in the gap for us. He intercedes for you and I. Because we are washed in the blood and we are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if we do sin, we have Jesus Christ, our advocate, that we could confess our sins. And let me just say this. When God the Father looks down and he sees all humanity, those who are his, he doesn't see our sin anymore. Our sin is cast from the east to the west. It is buried in the deepest ocean. The Bible says that God remembers our sin no more. Praise God. And so all he sees the blood that was applied to our life. Praise God. So I'm excited about this Bible study this evening. And so let's go there right now. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And let's start reading the scriptures. And here we go. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. There it is. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, meaning our substitute. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow. Verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also to walk just as he walked. And verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the very beginning. Look at this. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 8 through 10. Look at this. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Praise God. And verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow. Wow, my friends. Wow. So let's go now. And we're going to expound verses 1 through 11. Here we go. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the first step for living in the light is to confess sin. And the second step is to forsake all sin. Praise God. You see, my friends, John emphasized human sinfulness throughout chapter 1. And so in order to make his readers despise their sin and try to stay free from it, so that you will not sin means that you will try to stay free from sin by avoiding it and refusing it, but then also confessing it when it does happen. Why? Because it will happen. That's right. Until we get the brand new body that will live forever, this body of flesh is still very sinful. Now, our soul and spirit has been washed in the blood, and we are now eternal bound, praise God, to be with Jesus forevermore. But this flesh is going to go back to the dust. You see, my friends, Christians will sin because they have not yet been made perfect, praise God. And John fully understood this, and he did not want his readers to take the inevitable of sinning as an excuse to sin. No, God did not give us the license to sin, saints. No, we are to learn how to put these sinful desires and put them under the subjection. We need to subject this flesh to the ordinance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. You see, the tension between the phrases, so that you will not sin, and if you do sin, it forms a balance between a too harsh or too lenient view of sin. You see, my friends, believers have no business sinning. Can I get an amen in the house? And that's what John says. But when they do sin, and we will sin, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But my friends, God has provided a way for each and every one of us to be cleansed from it. Aren't you so blessed to know that? That even though we will not live a perfect life here, but we can, before God, live a sinless life, even though we've made our mistakes. Why? Because if we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You see, my friends, when believers sin and then come to the Father for forgiveness, there is someone to plead for them before our Father. And this one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who pleases God completely. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Saints, Christ's righteousness contrasts with humanity's sinfulness. And not only is Jesus is the judge's son, hallelujah, but he also has already paid the penalty through the blood. Praise God. And because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law and paid sin's penalty for all who would come into the saving knowledge, and that would plead for them on the basis of justice as well as mercy. You see, my friends, believers cannot be punished because of someone else has already taken the punishment for them. And guess who that was? The Lord Jesus Christ. He took on the wrath. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, all the sins of the world was laid upon him as an offering for sin once and for all. And all those that Jesus said in his word, the Father says, in the book of John, it's all written there, that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So all those who the Father is drawing, he will draw them to the Son. And through our confession of faith, we will become saved through the blood of the Lamb and be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go to verse 2 of 1 John chapter 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for what? The whole world. Those who God will be saving. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, when Jesus Christ speaks to the Father in people's defense, he doesn't falsely claim that they are innocent. No. Instead, he maintains that they are guilty of sin, but then points that he has already paid the penalty by his blood. Hallelujah. Listen, when he was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise God. Listen, in our BC years, we were living a life of debauchery. Yet Jesus, hallelujah, saved us by faith. Praise God. The Father drew us to the Son and gave us a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. And we cried out by faith. Hallelujah. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, paid that penalty of our sin. Praise God. You see, my friends, because Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for our sins, he can stand before God as the believer's mediator. Praise God. His death, saints of God, satisfied the wrath of God against sin and paid the death. Hallelujah. The death penalty for it. Praise God. You know, I just want to pause right now and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, God, for dying for the saints of God, those who are listening to this message. All those that the Father drew to you, Lord Jesus, thank you for washing us and cleansing us and saving us. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah. Look what I found right here in the book of Romans. Look at this. In Romans 3, 23 through 26. For all, say that with me at home. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Wow, wow, wow. Praise God. Look at this. And in verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Look what else I found in Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. Therefore, say that with me at home, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, meaning the substitute for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, and he is able to aid those who are tempted. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Jesus and Jesus alone, he's the one that took away not only the sins of John and his followers at that time, but all believers 2,000 years later, us. Hallelujah. The sins of the world. Christ's atoning sacrifice, saints of God, is sufficient for the sins of all those the Father is drawing to him. And while Christ's death is sufficient for every sinner, of every person, whoever lived or ever will live, it becomes effectual only for those who confess their sin and accept the sacrifice and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, John was not teaching universal salvation at all. Why? Because there are some people that will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Some will not even have ears to hear and eyes to see. So he was not teaching universal salvation, but everyone was saved by Christ, whether he or she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? We know this from John's statement and later on in the verses ahead. Let's look at this for a moment. This is in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go to this in a couple of weeks, but we need to look ahead at this. Look at this. In 1 John 2:18 through 21, my little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Saints, we are in the last hour. Look at this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. I need you to catch this. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, all things. What is that saying to you and I? Not everyone is saved. Did you catch that? There's some people that are actually going to drop into hell because they have rejected, they have refused. Some of them maybe came to a church. Maybe some of them joined a church. Maybe some of them grew up in a church. But notice what it was said. They didn't continue. And so it lets us know they were never born again. They thought it was a thing to do to go to church on Sunday. But that's the furthest I ever got with them. Praise God. You see, saints, obviously the Antichrist had not found forgiveness and acceptance in Christ. Praise God. So with that, we're going to move on to verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. Now, by this we know that we know him. If we, what? Keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth, say that with me at home, and the truth is not in him. Wow. You see, saints, up to this point in this letter, John has been warning against the false teachers and those who left the church to follow them. And many today are following false doctrines. Many today are still living in sin. They're still bathing in their own iniquity. And they have not truly came to a place of repentance. Because without repentance, they will never receive anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the people who remained in the church, John's readers, may have been wondering, how can we be sure that we belong to him? In other words, how can we know that we're Christians? Have you thought of that your own self? You see, this passage gives two ways to know. If you do what Christ says and live as Christ wants, you're going to know. People can know that they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ if they are obeying his commandments. Oh, that's right. And this letter lists several proofs for how people can know Christ and belong to him. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, it was Deacon Hernandez that said Sunday morning that obedience is better than sacrifice. And I want to agree with them totally, because obedience provides one clear indication. And this does not mean that believers must follow a list of rules without one slip, or does it mean that people must demonstrate obedience before they can come to know God? No. Instead, obedience comes as the natural outworking of a person's faith and love for the Lord. You see, my friends, true believers wholeheartedly accept and submit to God's will as he has revealed it in his word. Praise God. It's accepting, embracing, and following the Lord. Yes, even through our faults and failures. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But God is with us. Hallelujah. And if we do sin, we have an advocate. That's what this message is all about. You see, my friends, if a person claims to belong to God but doesn't obey God's commandments, he or she is a liar then at that point. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how many times you open up the Word of God. If you're not following his commandments and learning to try to be Christ-like, it's all for naught. You see, my friends, since anyone can claim to know Christ, you can check his or her authenticity by seeing whether or not he or she obeys the Word of God. Praise God. Look at this. We're going to go to verse 5 now. Look at this, because that was 3 and 4. Let's go to verse 5 of 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, here's the key right here. Truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Are you catching this, saints of God? He also says he abides in him, ought to himself also to walk just as he walked. There is the recipe, saints of God. There is, right there. You see, saints, obedience is linked not merely with knowing God, but with loving Him. Those who obey God's word really do love Him. How many of you at home love God? I do. I love Him with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I love Him because of what He has done for me. He has saved me from a pit of hell. I could have been dropped in hell. I could have died in my BC years. But God in His mercy, God in His grace, He saved you and He saved me. Praise God. And now we can glorify Him and magnify Him and praise His holy name for all the wonderful things He has done for you and I. Hallelujah. And so those who really obey God's word really do love Him. All that's right, saints of God. You see, by this type of obedience and love we can have for Him, believers can know that they live in Him. Jesus portrayed in human terms, saints of God, absolute obedience to the Father. And anyone who wanders, who just wonders how to obey God, can by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and emulating Him. Because Jesus was 100% obedient to His Father. What about us? Can we learn to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, my friends, those who truly desire to live in God should live their lives as Christ did. And to live as Christ did, it doesn't mean choosing 12 disciples, performing great miracles, and being crucified. People cannot merely copy Christ's life. We need to emulate it. We need to learn to obey. And much of what Jesus did had to do with His identity as God's Son and His special role in dying for our sin. Anyone's claim to live in Christ must be backed up. Must be backed up following His example of complete obedience to God and loving and serving God's people. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. How many are so blessed to know that God is for us, not against us? Hallelujah. The living God chose to live inside of us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You and I now have a destiny. We have purpose. God called you and I for such a time as this. How many of you believe that we are living in the days of Noah? We are living in the days of Lot. So God is saying, gird yourself up in truth. Learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to be obedient to Him. And God will use us. God will use us to save many souls. It's all about winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I asked this question last Sunday. When's the last time have you led someone to Christ or watched them be baptized? Saints, God is looking for you and I for such a time as this to do the work of the ministry, to fulfill our call. We're called for one purpose, and that's number one, to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to win souls to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 7 in 1 John chapter 2. And it reads, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have, what? Which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Praise God, praise God. From the beginning, saints of God. You see, the commandment to love one another is both Old and New Testament. For the Jews, the command to love others was as old as the Pentateuch in the book of Leviticus. And in the New Testament, John indicated that as well. And we're going to go to the scriptures and look at this. Let's go here to Leviticus. Look at this. You shall what? Not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. For I am the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So now, the New Testament saints, the Lord Jesus Christ, would point to the Old Testament. Now, look what it says in John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you what? Have love. Love for one another. And so, my friends, John knew that he was not writing a new commandment because it is an old one that we just read in Leviticus. However, Jesus called the commandment new. Why? Because he interpreted it in a radically new way. The newness of Jesus' command focused on the practice of love, learning to love like he loves. Oh, that's right. I know sometimes it's hard to love someone that doesn't love you or refuses to be loved by you. Oh, it's tough. But we are to love them regardless, despite of it all. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right, saints of God. And so, let's move on now, praise God, to verse 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. Why? Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Woo, thank you, God. Thank you for the light. Thank you for shining bright. You see, saints, yet this commandment to love is also new because a new commandment to love departs from the old characteristics of the law with its emphasis on outward conformity to certain regulations. Praise God. But we're not under that old yoke no more. Praise God. Hallelujah. The commandment to love one another is true in Christ and is true among the believers. The command to love first reached its truest and fullest expression in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, he demonstrated true love by coming into this world and giving his life, his entire life, for all who would believe. And thus, saints of God, the command should also be true in you and me. That is, in all who claim, saints of God, to follow Christ. And although the true light is already shining and the darkness has not passed away completely, the darkness is disappearing slowly but surely. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because people are getting saved. People are coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks to the victory of Christ, the outcome of the conflict between light and darkness is a foregone conclusion. The conflict continues, however, saints of God, and we all know that. There's conflict in our day and time right now. Oh, yeah, our political role is upside down. Oh, that's right. Even in the church, that's right, the culture has infiltrated the church. And now the church doesn't even have a true and pure identity anymore. Why? Because they have conceded to the things of this world. But you and I, we've been called to stand. Say that with me, saints of God. We have been called to stand in the power of God, in the anointing of God, in the grace of God, to always continue to speak truth through God's love. Hallelujah. And when people are in sin, we need to let them know that there's a better way, that God could save them from the guttermost to the uttermost, that God's mercy wants to be upon them. But they must learn to repent and turn to the living God and ask God to cleanse them and wash them. You see, no one's no longer grievous and mourning over their sin. But this is what we need to teach. We need to teach men and women to look at their sin and to moan, to mourn, and to know that it's grievous to God and that they are to forsake it and give it to God and watch God do the miraculous in their life. Hallelujah. Praise God. But like the first rays of sun at dawn, slowly but steadily piercing the darkness, so the true light experience shared by Christ is growing, saints of God. Hallelujah. And I'm so blessed because many of you saints are growing that I see. You're not the same person several years ago. Many of you are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we saw last Sunday, three men who have truly has been elevated by God because of their faith and because of their spiritual growth and because of their love for the Lord. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 9 of 1 John chapter 2. And it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Wow. Wow. Woo. Saints, these next few verses highlight the absolute contrast drawn between light and darkness, love and hate, God and the world. You see, my friends, the two contrasts cannot coexist. This verse teaches us that a person who claims to be in the light should then, by extension, also should be filled with love for his brother and for his sister. Oh, that's right. Let's look ahead once again at 1 John 2:7 and 8. Look at this. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. You see, my friends, if that person makes his claim but hates a Christian brother or sister, then the claim to be in the light is false. That person is still in darkness. Listen, there have been so many people that I've seen with my own eyes who have an ought with someone in the church. And whatever the case may be, they get filled with hate toward that person and they will leave the church and go to somewhere else. My friends, let it not be of you. Let it not be of me. Because if we follow that way that person's heart is toward a brother and a sister, I'm sorry. That is not evidence of being a true Christian. I know God will be the final judge. I get that. And we cannot judge them. But let me just say this. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. And the fruit, what is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. Learning to love one another despite of whatever circumstance may arise. And are we going to have circumstances? Are we going to have conflict? Yes. But God wants us to resolve those issues through God's love so that the peace of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God will be upon us. And it will pursue us all the way until He comes back for us, saints of God. We need to learn that. Praise God. Look what it says in Mark. I found this in Mark. Look at this. In Mark 12, 30 through 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. What? That's right. So, my friends, living in love is living in the light. Since the gospel both illuminates people's minds and it warms up their hearts to love, praise God, it's the presence of God, the power of God. Oh, yes, saints of God. Look what I found further on in 1 John. We'll get back to it in the weeks to come. But look what it says here. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, the Word of God says, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Wow, that's pretty heavy. Look at verse 21. And this commandment we have heard from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. Wow. See, there's no wiggle room here. We cannot compromise our emotions, our hatred toward someone. Listen, if you're one of those who hate someone, despises, can't be by them, my goodness, you need to go to God and repent. You need to cry out. You need to fall on your knees and say, oh God, I should have never thought this of my brother. I should have never thought this about my sister. And go and reconcile and embrace each other and learn to coexist with one another. Let me just say this. There's not going to be isms and schisms. There are not going to be any oughts in heaven, because we're all going to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we will love one another as he has loved us. You see, my friends, love should be the unifying force and the identifying mark of the Christian community. Love is a key to walking in the light. Why? Because believers cannot grow spiritually while they hate others. I don't care. Listen, I don't care how much you say you love God, but if you cannot live and coexist with your brother and sister, if you have to leave and go to another church, something is out of order. Something's not in place in your heart correctly, and you need to repent. I'm speaking to those with love, the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as a pastor, I'm just a messenger sharing with you the love of God, the grace of God. You could either receive it or reject it. You could either just turn this message off and come back another week. But let me just say this. If God finds hatred in your heart and you stand before him, I personally wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because God says, if you can't forgive your brother or sister's trespasses, the Bible says God cannot forgive yours. Wow. So, let's move on to our last two verses in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is what? In darkness, and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? But the darkness has blinded his eyes? Wow, saints. As the opposite to verse 9 and to verse 10 explains that actions reveal faith. Anyone who loves other Christians is walking in the light. Praise God. Praise God. There is nothing. There is, I'm saying this, saints, in love. There is nothing such a person to make him or her, anyone else, stumble. We cannot allow people to stumble because of our hatred. We got to love. Can I get an amen? And in contrast, people who claim to be Christians yet hate a Christian brother or sister are not grounded in the truth. And it's shown in their actions. They are walking in darkness. And in the context of this letter, those who hated other Christians probably referred to the false teachers and their followers who had left the fellowship of the church and thereby had rejected John and has rejected other true Christians. You see, my friends, they claimed to love God, but they hated other children of God. Believers who hate are in darkness and not light. They're in sin and they're not in fellowship with God. Woo! They are lost, having been blinded by the darkness. Look what I found in 2 Peter 1 and 9. Look at this. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You catch that, saints of God? You see, to hate then is to choose the darkness and to shut oneself off from the light. To hate is to separate oneself from the presence of God and from the fellowship of other believers. Wow, wow. My friends, did you know that Jesus is coming soon? He's coming soon. And listen, if there's any iniquity, any hatred toward another person, this is the time to repent. This is the time. Why? Because any day now, he can crack the skies and take home the church. But he's only going to take those who are walking in faith, who love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind, as we've been alluding to in this Bible study tonight. This Bible study is to help you, is to equip you, is to get the junk out, Praise God for pastors and teachers who will teach you and preach to you truth. We're not here to tickle your ears, but we're here to help you get past issues in your life so that you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you would have a future and a hope, so that you will have the presence of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God upon your life. Listen, my friends, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon and very soon. Oh, that's right. And when He comes, the angels are going to shout aloud. Look at this right up here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. He went on to say, Paul wrote this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Say this with me at home, saints of God. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we," say that with me at home, "then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort, comfort, comfort one another with these words," saints. Listen, we're not going to leave this planet with this fleshly body. See, this body will go back to the dust. We're going to get a brand new body. We're going to be changed and we're going to be just like Him. See, Paul went further and wrote to the Corinthian church to explain exactly how it's going to take place. Let's look at that right here. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Be changed." Look at this. "For this corruptible," oh my God, "for this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be put on immortality." So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." How many are so blessed to know that? That we're not going to be in these bodies anymore? These bodies are wearing out. Oh, that's right. As you get older, you start to feel, hallelujah, you start to feel physically, you weren't like when you were in your 20s or 30s. For me, 64, I feel it now. I feel my back. I feel my arms, my legs. They're not the same like they used to be. That's right. But that new body is going to live forever. It's going to be glorified. God has already glorified and has already seen our new bodies. We can't see them yet, but He has. But my friends, if you are not prepared, if you still got that hate in your heart, if you still have issues, if you have not been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, if you have not confessed your sins, repented of your sins, if you have not yet been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and my friends, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow. That's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Well, I'm here to let you know that God has made provision so that you can be ready, praise God. That you too can know the Lord Jesus Christ. That when the rapture takes place, you will be included and be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh yes, but you have to repent. And that's why Peter the Apostle preached his very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. You see, it was only 9 o'clock in that morning. And the millions that were there celebrating the feast of Pentecost thought that the people that were in the upper room were drunk. But no, they were just filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter boldly, you remember Peter? He's the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Now he's filled with the power of God. And now he has spiritual boldness. And he comes and he preaches his very first sermon. He tells all those who are outside, he says it best. Then Peter then said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to many as far off as the Lord God will call. That's it right there. Repent. Be baptized. Let God cleanse you and wash you in His blood. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Saints of God, that's the key. That's the key, my friends, is to repent. Listen, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is time now. This is time to repent. Praise God. Praise God. And all you have to do is cry out. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that has logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can be taken up in the rapture when He comes. Or if you were to pass away before the rapture takes place, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that to be absent from this physical body is to be present with the Lord. So the moment you close your eyes here on earth, you will open them in the presence of God. You too can have eternal life. And so, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Someone just got saved. And I truly believe that God has done the miraculous in your life. Listen, as you can see down below, we want to be in contact with you. Log on to our website, our phone number, our email's there. Reach out to us. Let us pray with you. We want to put a brand new Bible in your hand if you don't have a Bible. And we want to point you and lead you to a church that preaches and teaches the unadulterated Word of God. Also, my friends, down below, as you can see, we are so blessed and so mighty thankful for many of you has faithfully, hallelujah, has blessed and helped provide for the ministry at Amazing Grace. So as you can see below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, that concludes our Bible study this evening. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And don't forget, 1 p.m. is our healing rooms. And so I leave you the benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California at 10 a.m. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.